97.9 FM WCHL Championship Sports presents The Grid. WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show. Join WCHL over the next hour as we preview all the area games and the storylines you care about. All season long, The Grid is your home for all your area schools, including the Carrboro Jaguars, the East Chapel Hill Wildcats, the Chapel Hill Tigers, and all the surrounding area schools from Orange and Chatham counties. The Grid, WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show, starts now.
Hello and welcome to The Grid with Matt and Matt. We're happy to join you for the rest of the season thanks to Rand Northam, and we're very excited. I'm Matt Oakes and I'm here with Matt Paul, and we're ready to hit the ground running this week. We have some big compelling matchups. What do you think, Matt P?
I think it's going to be a very exciting week, Matt Oakes, and I'm happy to join you here on The Grid. Thanks again to WCHL for the opportunity.
All right, so let's do it. Let's get right to the action. We're going to go ahead and listen in on Coach Chris Casey's conversation. I met with him earlier this week, and his Cedar Ridge team is getting ready to face Durham Riverside down in Durham. So they're 0-3, looking to get off to a better start with this game and hopefully get on the board in the win column this week. Here's Coach Casey.
I think, you know, we did a good job there again moving the ball from, 20 to the 20. We got down inside the red zone. We kind of stalled a little bit, but the biggest thing that really hurt us was we had so many turnovers and we had penalties. And we told our guys, that's the thing that we had done well the first two games as far as being smart and not putting ourselves in a bad position. But we had so many times Friday night where we were starting off first and 15, second and 20, and not necessarily from, anything the East did, but more for us just kind of jumping off sides and not lining up right or getting holding penalties and did a lot of things to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. So when we executed things very well. We were able to get a lot of our quick screen game, our perimeter stuff. But like I said, we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. Running the ball-wise, we just couldn't. East Chapel Hill did a great job of stalling us up front. We couldn't get any push off the ball, and then they hit a couple big plays on us defensively or offensively. I think they hit two or three big plays that ended up being the outcome of the game and changed the game.
Where do you think those mental lapses are coming from? Is it inexperience, or is it where do you think that's coming from?
Well, last week we ended up starting a freshman at offensive line. We had one of our young men that was sick and in the hospital, and he had been starting every game, so he wasn't there. Then another one of our guys that we depend on, he was sick also. So we had our right side had two guys that really don't play a lot, don't get that many reps. Not that that's an excuse. They should be able to go in and fill in. But our right side of the line, it was very inexperienced. So I think that had a lot to do. We had to shuffle a couple of guys around. And that kind of led into them getting pressure on the quarterback. But as far as the other things, I think we got a little tired. We had some guys that were late for practice, so they ended up sitting out a quarter. And some of our guys that we usually spell and give rest to, they didn't get that rest. So they ended up playing, the whole first quarter and some of the second quarter. And I think that kind of led to just mental fatigue and making those offside errors and just the little mental lapses that we had.
As far as practice this week, what are you guys focusing on? Adjustments that are being made? Anything in particular?
We're gonna see a team that runs a triple option, which is kind of a old school, I guess, throwback offense with everybody doing the stuff with the spread. So we've been really working on option responsibilities on defense, having our front four guys stay low. And they got to win the battle of the line of scrimmage. If we don't win the battle defensively on the line of scrimmage, then it's going to be a long night for us. Offensively, we've just been talking to our guys about cleaning up the little mistakes. Like I said, making sure we line up right, making sure that we catch the ball. We had probably four or five drop passes that if we catch, they could be 6 points or their first downs, and that changes the tide of the game. We also talked with our quarterback, who was young, about making – different reads and adjustments, and a lot of our routes, we have different things we can check off to, and so he's got to be able to see that and read it. And like I said, with a sophomore quarterback starting on varsity, He's going to have growing pains, and he's going to have things that he's just got to learn. And the only way to learn it is just going through game and getting that experience.
So you mentioned it. You've got to go to Riverside this week, and with that triple option, what do you see in that matchup and your thoughts and some keys to the game?
Riverside, they're athletic. You know, they're going to run the option. They're going to run it over and over again, and they got some big guys up front. They got some really athletic skill guys, and, you know, the option is designed to maybe not lull you to sleep, but it's going to get two or three yards, and it's going to get a big play. And so we've got to be able to do our job and control the line of scrimmage. Our outside guys, they got to make sure we get on that quarterback, and we got to force them to beat us passing the ball if they're going to beat us. Offensively, you know, we've got to do a good job of taking advantage, you know, what they give us. If they give us stuff on the outside, then we got to keep throwing our perimeter screens and getting the ball to the outside. If they make adjustments to that, then we've got to be strong enough up front to blow them off the ball and run the ball. So we just got to do a better job offensively of just kind of executing the things that we've talked about this week, the little corrections that we made, just kind of fine-tuning our offense and defense. We just got to play our responsibilities.
Okay, let's take our first break from the grid with Matt O and Matt P. And when we return, we'll speak with Orange coach Pat Moser.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
And we're back on the grid. I'm Matt Oak. And now we get a chance to hear from Coach Pat Moser, and his Orange High School squad is tearing up the field. Defensively, they haven't even given up an offensive touchdown. Remarkable through three games. So let's hear what Coach Moser has to say.
I think that our defense, again, played really well. Now, they had the first string defense had a third straight shutout this year. They haven't been scored on yet. So, you know, we're extremely pleased with that. And against Riverside, you know, we were very concerned. They run a triple option, and they do it very well. And so we thought that they would get some points, to be honest with you. And we would just, you know, have to play well on offense. But our defense is turning out to be something special. And they shut them out. And the whole fourth quarter, we played second and third guys, and they held up. They held up the shutout. So, you know, we as a unit played well, as a team played well, and I think the defense right now is the story.
Just that defense, I mean, that really is, I mean, that's remarkable. What is it that gives them the motivation to, you know, continue to shut out a team after being up? The game was out of hand, but yet, you know, they were determined not to allow a score. What is it? Can you sense, you know, what's so special about that group this year?
Well, you know, Coach Smith, Van Smith, who's our defense coordinator, he gets them a zero bar if they shut somebody out. So I think they kind of like that zero bar, number one. but now it's becoming like fun for them. They are really stingy, and when they can, when people get yards, they don't like it. And so I like to see that. I mean, it's a lot of fun to coach a group of kids like that. But, you know, all the way from top to bottom, they're good. They're fast. They're hard-hitting bunch and very motivated.
Yeah, kind of going off that, you know, how easy of a job is it? I mean, is it more just motivating them, keeping them focused? But it seems, where does that leadership come from? Or could you maybe point to a couple players that really stand out as far as, you know, keeping the focus there and shutting teams out?
Well, we have some great senior leadership on that defense. You know, I start with our free safety, J.D. Brooks. He's a 6'3", 190-pounder who covers the field well. He's 4'5", in the 40, and is a, you know, he's a major college prospect, and he roams the middle of the field. You know, he's a man, and a senior, and he started there for 3 years. So he's very seasoned, and he knows what he's doing. And then as we come forward, you know, we have a great group of linebackers We have two brothers that alternate in there that are doing real good. Jack and Drew, the master. Nick Schultz, who is a senior linebacker for us, who led our team in tackles last year, is a special kid. And we have a very good defensive front. You know, we have a defensive end that is just unblockable. We can't block him at practice.
Wow.
And you know, then when he gets in the games, he's very hard to deal with, named Artrell Stewart. And you know, and then our defensive tackles, you know, you got a 305-pounder and a 280-pounder in there, and they're good. They're good players. They move, and they're hard to move out of the holes in the middle. And so, I mean, wherever you look, we're pretty good.
So coming up, you have Graham this Friday at home. What are some of the keys to that matchup and to continue this great run going?
Graham is a very dangerous team. They have they've not won yet, but they have lost in fairly close games all three times to very good teams. They lost to Eastern Alamance and Western Alamance and Walter Williams. So they have played top-notch programs, and they played pretty well, to tell you the truth. So they're dangerous. They have a good running back, a good quarterback. Their defense runs through the ball. I mean, so, you know, anything can happen. You have a fumble or two at the wrong time or an interception at the wrong time, and these games can be flipped real quick. And we know that, and we preach that to our kids. So they have been practicing well this week, their focus. I used to coach at Graham High School, and three of our assistants that are here with me here at Orange, Mike McCauley, Van Smith, and J.J. Callahan, all coached at Graham when I was at Graham. So there's a little bit of, for us, it's a little bit of a homecoming, getting to go back and play Graham. And so it's going to be interesting. I hope that we play well.
Okay, that was Matt Oakes with Orange coach Pat Moser. Next up, I'll be speaking with Pittsboro Northwood coach Bill Hall after the break.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Okay, Matt Paul back here with Matt Oakes on the grid on WCHL. Next up, I have an interview with Bill Hall, Pittsboro Northwood's coach. Team is 3-0, two pretty big routes this past week, a little bit closer, and let's hear what coach has to say.
Jordan Matthews is known for having very strong defenses. They always put their better players on the defensive side of the ball for the most part, and this year's no exception. They get after it pretty good. We had a few drop passes in the first half, and we came out second half, played a lot better.
And as you mentioned, did a good job in the running game, but Kadarius has become some kind of a weapon, Kadarius Roan. You have to be pleased since first couple of weeks, big blowouts, huge passing numbers. Now this game, you go back to Kadarius again, and he comes through. You have to be pleased with that.
Well, Kadarius is a big-time back. We do want to get the ball in his hands, whether as a receiver or a running back, and especially in the second half, he has some nice runs for us.
And again, the special teams play. Jalen Smith with the 37-yard touchdown punt return, that was big.
That was big, and that was set up by our punt team, by pinning them inside the 5-yard line with a punt. Ty Penix does our punting. And we held him a 3-and-out right there, and he got a lane on the punt return and took it to the house. So, you know, that's two special teams plays that really set up that one touchdown.
And special teams play pretty much throughout the season so far has been a big, big reason for your team's success. Tie with that foot, amazing, he can kick that well. And then the blocked field goals, which led to a near touchdown there, setting that ball up on the 5 or 6 the previous week. So comment for me on that becoming such a weapon for you guys.
Well, it's something we do stress in practice, week in and week out. We did have a couple miscues on special teams against Jordan Matthews. We missed a couple field goals. We had a had an onside or two on our kickoff team, but we did recover an onside kick against Jordan Matthews to start the game, and it's something we stress in practice weekly. So, you know, we got to get better in that aspect too, but it has been a good part of our game so far.
And then finally, regarding that game, your defense, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, pitched a shutout in the second half. You got to be pleased with that.
Well, I'm extremely pleased. I think we had 10 or 12 tackles for loss. We had four or five more sacks. It was a great night, especially those five D linemen that were rotating in there. Those guys are playing lights out right now, and we're going to need them to continue to play that way.
Five different players with sacks. I mentioned to you before, we might test you on it. Who were a couple of guys that came up with sacks?
Elijah.
You don't have to do all five.
I got them all. Elijah Washington, all right. Jay Williams, Hunter Blackman, Brady Conan, and Daquan Brooks all had sacks for us. So it was a good night for those guys.
Nice. Want to be able sure to give them their props also. On to Carborough, what do you know about them? 3-0, close win this week.
They're a good ball team. I mean, they're 2A state runner-up. You gotta know where Trey Sharp is at all times.
The running back?
He's dangerous. You got to be able to contain him or try to contain him. You're not going to contain him, but you got to know where he's at all times.
And then, like you guys, again, the balance with the passing game, wide out Marlon Johnson.
Right. They're dangerous. They're a very good football team. Everybody still has them in the top five rankings in 2A. And for a reason. I mean, it should be a good ball game. Hopefully we can compete with them a little better this year.
And another tough road contest as we close out this interview, Coach Hall, Pittsburgh Northwood.
It is not an easy place to play at Carborough. You know, right from the beginning when they opened, it's been a tough place to play up there. So, you know, they got a good atmosphere, good student support. It'll be a tough ball game. It'll be a good challenge for us.
And that's why this previous week was so important for you guys, too, winning a tough game on the road.
Exactly. If you're going to compete in this conference, you got to be able to play at home and on the road.
All right. That was Matt P. Speaking to Coach Bill Hall down at Northwood. Next up, after the break, we're going to get a chance to chat with Coach Jason Tudrin and his undefeated Carborough team. Stay tuned.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
And we're back on the grid with Matt and Matt. All right, now we get a chance to talk to Coach Jason Tudrin. His squad's off to a 3-0 unblemished start. Last week, though, they had to stave off an unbelievable rally by the Chapel Hill Tigers to prevail 29-28. What's in store in their matchup against Northwood tonight? Let's hear.
Yeah, it was a great high school football game, and I was really happy that we came out on the top side of that thing. You know, we have a saying around here that we like to make our own luck, and I think our kids really persevered through some tough situations and made plays when they needed to, and we got to squeak out a victory. So, you know, from that side of it, we're happy. From the other side of it, I think it was a great lesson for us going into conference games and going into the future of our schedule and realizing that, you know, you can't turn the ball over three times, you can't have big penalties that get touchdowns called back in crucial situations, or else you're going to have a regret on Saturday morning. So, all being said, we're excited to get out 3-0, but we realize that this week, coming in, Northwood's 3-0. Team we play next week at South Granville's 2-1, and Random is 3-0. So we realize that the clientele, so to say, that we'll be seeing over the next 3 weeks is going to be completely different from what you've seen in the past.
Could you go ahead and discuss maybe what caused that late-game rally that you were giving up to the Tigers, and was it your team's level dropped? Obviously, the turnovers kind of, you know, what caused that?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. You know, Trey had a great run that was a 74-yard touchdown run and was called back. And then the very next play, so it's a huge momentum shift. We go by two scores with probably 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, and could have probably deal right there. And then very next play, after the penalty, we fumble it. And so they get the ball back in, and you know, the rest is history of what had happened. So I think it's just us being able to handle the constant swaying up and down of the emotions of a Friday night football game and being able to be mature enough as a team to handle those emotional swings.
For sure. This, as far as this week's practice, what have you been working on, focusing on, any adjustments being made?
Really worried about the fact that we have to be better at finishing games off, and we haven't won the fourth quarter this entire season yet, and but yet we're 3-0. You know, we're turning the ball over. I think we've got more turnovers in three games than we had in eight games last year. So I think it's important for us to eliminate turnovers, eliminate the mistakes that could beat us, and then be able to finish games out. And mature football teams do that. So we'll find out a lot about ourselves on Friday.
So Northwood, this Friday, a pretty big showdown there. What are you expecting, keys maybe to that game to be successful?
Well, I think the keys for us is being able to, you know, they're going to throw it around probably 40 times, and we've got to tackle really well, and if we do that and don't let them have a ton of yards after catch, then we'll have a shot on defense. And then offensively, got to limit the mistakes. We're doing better in the penalty department, but touching on turnovers beat you. And so we had three last week. We can't do that in order for us to even be in the game. So if we do those things, then we'll have a shot. And hopefully, like I said, we can mature as a football team, be able to handle emotional ups and downs of a football game, especially a rivalry as Northwood is, because our kids see Northwood as large of a rival, if not larger than playing the crosstown guys.
Okay, back to the grid on WCHL with Matt O and Matt P. We're heading into preview predictions portion of the program. A lot of P's there. Let's talk about some of the big games of the week. First one's obvious, 3-0, Battle of 3-0, Northwood at Carrboro.
And that's our WCHL game of the week, so it's going to be a good one.
And for me, I've seen Northwood a couple of times this season. Strong play, really, in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams even making some key plays. I see this game going to Northwood. I see it being very close, obviously, and I know it's a tough call being at Carrboro. But I'm going to call Northwood the winner. How do you go on it, Matt O?
Wow, I know it's going to be a tough game. I really don't know what to expect. I'd like to give the experience factor for Carrboro, give them a little edge maybe. Last season, state runner-up. Who knows? It's going to be down to the wire. But I'll give Carrboro the leg up, being the home field advantage. Carrboro by three.
Okay, fair enough. Second game we'll look at is Graham at Orange. 0-3 Graham going against 3-0 Orange. Graham has three really big losses on its slate, including 58-0 to East Alamance, whereas Orange, 133 points for, only 19 against, and you pointed out earlier, no offensive touchdowns allowed by the opponent.
Unbelievable.
So this is kind of an easy call, and no offense to Graham, but Orange in a blowout.
I can't argue with you there. This one will not be close. Orange, Pat Moser's got a good thing going down there. Orange all the way.
And is that the Chapelboro game?
That is. That's okay. Their Chapelboro. Exclusively on chapelboro.com, that game will be streaming. So tune into that one.
Two games each week. Good stuff. Third game of the week, South Alamance at East Chapel Hill. I see East Chapel Hill improving a little bit as the season goes on. Fell to Carrboro, good team, 34-21, 1-2 on the season. Southern Alamance, 2-1. They look like they have a big offense, 54 points and a win, 21 points and a loss, 36-33 win over Williams. So obviously East Chapel Hill is going to have to keep an eye on that offense. But I think East Chapel Hill is going to win this contest.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Matt. I think East Chapel Hill grew a lot last week, grew up a little bit. It was a big win against Cedar Ridge, you know, getting a win there. And I think they're going to have something for South Alamance. So East Chapel Hill in that one.
And speaking of win-win, our final game, Cedar Ridge at Durham with Riverside. Cedar Ridge didn't win that game, but they played better in the second half, 15-3, outscored their opponent, played better. I think they're going to be hungry for a win here. Durham Riverside 1-2 on the season, as you know, edged out Chapel Hill 17-14. I see Cedar Ridge getting its first win of the season, being pretty ticked off here, and going to 1-3.
That will be an interesting game. I know Cedar Ridge will be hungry, like you said. Riverside can play, but, you know, coming off that 38-0 demolition last week, we'll see where the kids are mentally, and that's tough to take. So, yeah, I have to agree with you, Cedar Ridge, in that one.
You should always agree with me, man. No, I'm teasing. That's fine. Let's move on to our WCHL Super 6, a new segment here.
Yes, this is great. And so each week we're going to pick our top six. They'll slide up and down, or, you know, they may stay the same. We'll see. But right now, we had a tough time with this when we were going back and forth, weren't we?
Oh, we were. We were battling here. I'm glad nobody could see us in the newsroom. Number one?
Number one, we went with the Carrboro Jaguars. Carrboro Jaguars, number one. Coming off the heels of that runner-up finish, they're still unblemished. We gave the top spot to them.
Close behind a number two?
Is Northwood. Northwood, Bill Hall's squad down there, looking impressive. And guess what? One and two play each other this week.
That's right. There you go. Excellent powerhouse matchup. And speaking of which, my nickname for them is Pittsburgh's Pigskin Powerhouse. So we'll see if they live up to that. Number three, Matt. Oh.
Number three is Orange. Pat Moser's team still not giving up an offensive touchdown. Unbelievable stuff. Stingy defense, number three.
And big offense, too. Number four.
Number four is the Chapel Hill Tigers. Yes, they're 0-3, but they played some really close games, some competitive games. I mean, just heartbreakers, really. They're right there. Maybe they'll move up as the season goes on. But right now we have Chapel Hill at number four.
And we'll see what happens with number five.
Number five is Chapel Hill. John Sherman's squad got them a win last week, and so they come in at number five.
Okay. It's obvious who's number six.
Cedar Ridge. Sorry, guys. Number six. Nowhere to go but up.
And we both predicted you to win this week, so.
Go Cedar Ridge.
There you go.